Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs on Cliff Central. It's Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock, and really, I mean, this is now time for your weekly dose of all things Future CEOs. Chloe, it's wonderful to have you in studio.
Did you miss me last week, Gareth Armstrong? Did you miss me last week?
I was more jealous of you last week than missing you. I mean, on the slopes of Austria. So.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that, but it does get
It does. Here in studio, right?
That's why we're here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So today is an exciting show. We are speaking to probably what is going to be my favorite CEO of the year.
I know.
Because of how much I love what he does. And we'll introduce who that is in just a moment. But then also at the half hour break, we're going to be speaking about scaling your business and how to get the timing right and how to do it right as well. So often
tools.
Exactly.
Tools.
We want to grow our businesses, but we don't get it right. And so we're going to be speaking about that at the half hour change.
So if you're a high potential executive or an ambitious entrepreneur, this is the show for you.
It really, really is. And why is it? Because we've got guests like the man sitting in front of us.
Without further ado,
Gideon, I hope we're not putting any pressure on you here.
On a proverbial pedestal there. Jesus.
Look, you're on a pedestal because, I understand that you're a real, we're considered a high potential. You're now realizing that potential. You're the new CEO of Supersport.
That's right.
How does it feel when we say you're the CEO of Supersport? How does it feel?
I can't describe it really. I can't describe it. I'm getting used to it.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah, well, still to get used to it. I mean, it's only been like 20 days, so.
Wow.
But I've like worked at the business for so long.
Yeah, we know that.
It's Yeah, it's surreal in a way, yeah.
Surreal. I like the word surreal. I mean, you can't really get your hands around it, can you?
Yeah.
Yes, you have been part of the business for a very long time, which is an interesting transition that you are now undertaking because what you were doing before is now not quite what you're mandated to do as a CEO.
I mean, I had a plan in my head that I'd just end up working at Mnet for the rest of my career, you know.
Okay.
Getting my head around creating content. Dramas and reality shows and all those things. Yeah. And then out of the blue, this opportunity came along. So, but I love sports. So
I'm glad to hear that.
And it's all entertainment at the end of the day.
When you say out of the blue, I mean, did you not sense it? Did you not feel it?
Well,
did you not see it?
Well, had I been appointed a CEO of Mnet,
okay.
That would have been more sort of the logical path for me, I think.
Okay.
But I'm not complaining. Definitely not. So in my head, it was always Mnet. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we are all just about giving DSTV subscribers great content.
Absolutely. Can you just tell the Future CEOs community your journey about where it all started for it to come to be CEO at Supersport?
Well,
in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a small town in Springs called Kwatema.
Okay.
And I think the intervention that happened in my life was that my mother was a nurse and she took me to a private school. And had that not happened, I probably would not be sitting here.
Okay, interesting.
So I think that's where it all started. I went to a Catholic school there, and then I went to boarding school in the Eastern Cape, where I played rugby, and then I went to varsity, and I found myself working at Mnet. There's so many things. It would take the whole day for me to explain what's happened. But I got to the group about 9 years ago now. Working on Mnet in the Africa space in marketing, traveling a lot to places like Nigeria, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania. I mean,
okay,
I missed all those places. And then I moved out of that into research and strategy. And then moved out of that into managing channels, Mnet 101, Mnet Edge, Mnet City.
Right.
And then here I am today at Supersport.
So, you know what? This reminds me of so many of the interviews that we've done where the CEOs, they have touched many aspects of the business and they've been involved in various ways throughout the business. And I think that's coming out strongly
here. They
really
know the true domain of the game.
And so would you perhaps maybe give a little bit of credit to that journey being part of why you're here versus just this idea that you are a certain way? You know, characteristics make the CEO versus the journey.
Yeah, I guess everything was a test, you know.
I like that.
Yeah, I think everything was a test. I mean, you get put obstacles in front of you, and if you pass one test, you move on to the next level and next level and ultimately here. It didn't just happen overnight. A lot of people that don't know me think it just happened overnight and out of the blue. I mean, I've worked there for a long, long time on very big properties at that. So, yeah, for me, it's just like step-by-step process, you know. It didn't just happen overnight. I worked at the SABC before working at MNET for 3 years, I think. So I guess television and video entertainment has been my game for a long time.
It sounds like you've really paid your school fees, and that's part of it. There's that nice idea of the 10,000 hour rule. If you want to become a specialist, would you say you're a specialist in this area, and that's part of what
I guess I am. You know, when I started at SABC, I worked on SABC 3 in marketing, a very long time ago, and I mean. I wanted to go there because I just felt that they've got such strong, powerful brands, and they still do. Mm. But yeah, things don't happen overnight, you know. Even in the sport, you talk about 10,000 hours. You see a kid playing tennis at the Australian Open in January. You've never heard of him, but he's been there since he was 12 years old.
And not just there. Every single day he's involved. Exactly. Every single day he's sweating.
You see videos of Tiger Woods when he was 5 years old playing golf. You know, nothing happens overnight, really. I don't believe in that.
No, very nice.
Tell us a couple of your challenges in your new appointment so far, Gideon.
Well, it's only been 20 days.
How's it going?
It's going great. I mean, our biggest challenge is that we've got so much sport and so much content. Which do you market and how do you market it? How do you make people excited still? I mean, when you're a great brand, even if I can say SuperSport is a great brand, when you're a great brand, people sort of, I think your audience gets used to you, to your greatness, and they don't value it that much anymore, if you can say that.
It's
you know?
An interesting point,
It's like going to a supermarket, you expect to find milk, but the work it takes to get the milk there is a lot of work, you know what I mean? So for us, the biggest challenge now is to make people fall in love with SuperSport again and to realize what great content we have and what that great content does in their lives, you know, and in I don't know, in improving people's lives and people's moods. You know, you watch a rugby game after a bad day at work or whatever, your mind goes away. You know, you dream. I think our biggest challenge
is you swear
if you support Arsenal. But I think our biggest challenge is to constantly keep people in love with our brand.
And you're doing that well, let me tell you that.
Oh, thank you.
You are.
Yeah, I mean, your husband is a sport
fanatic. Crazy, but it's good.
So I guess we're very grateful to you. Thank you. Let's look at the transition that occurs when you move from a position where you're very operational, perhaps, to a point where now you're CEO. That role is very different, isn't it? This idea of ops.
I'm finding that. I'm still like getting involved in ops issues where we have to deliver something or we have to do something and I initiate the delivery and it's actually not my role anymore. We've got people in scheduling, in programming, in marketing, you know, in production, and I just keep asking the questions as if I'm still part of the core face of the business. But I don't know how else to operate, though. I mean, the guys know that, and I've said to them that they need to pull me back a bit. I'm not going to interfere.
So you're giving them permission to do that?
Yeah, they must tell me. I mean, we're all doing the same thing at the end of the day. I mean, we all want the same meeting the same objective. So I've said to the guys, I mean, they don't really know me. They'll get used to me. And I'll get used to them. So in the beginning, there'll always be this, maybe conflict a bit, which is healthy. But I mean, if communication is open and they tell me, pull back, no, this is my role. I don't have a huge ego, so I'm fine.
It is very interesting. I think we used to ask the question in these interviews that we did where when you were back in the day, 90% operational, 10% people, perhaps.
Yes.
What ratio would you give that now? This percent operational, this percent people. What's your job ratio?
Well, right now, it's already 50% people, and I can see that's going to grow even more.
Okay, interesting.
Because now what I do is I ensure, or I coordinate now, you know, if we know that the Olympics are coming in August, what is our production plan? Who are we going to get as an anchor? How many days? On which channels? How are we going to do the marketing and communication? So it's just about people now, like following up with people and interacting with people. It's not about me coming up with a plan to say, okay, we're going to do an ad on Cliff Central that says, watch the Olympics on this date. It's just basically just about following up with people now.
Mm, okay, very nice.
In the business that you're in, I know it's been a couple of days of being a CEO. Connections or skills when you have to deal with a leadership role?
I think it's skills. Honestly, I think, because I don't have any connections. I think it's skills.
What do you mean you don't have connections?
I don't have any...
Networks.
I don't have any networks. My connections are internal connections.
Correct.
With people that have... People who will call you out if you're not doing a good job, and people who will commend you if you are doing a good job. So mm-hmm. those are my connections, people mm-hmm. that I work with on a daily basis for the past few years. I don't have any sort of connections at a senior level where, because when you say connections, you think at a senior level, you know someone who knows somebody, then they introduce you to the chairman of the business, and then this happens. No, I don't. For me, it's just from the ground up. So for me, it's about skills.
All right, so if you're going to say skills, then you've got to commit to a couple of skills. Give us a couple of skills, maybe two or three, where it just these are standout things that maybe you have developed or are developing that you know are going to be vital for that role.
I think most skills, by and large, you can learn at school, finance or marketing. I'm not talking about those skills. I think the higher you go in your career, it's now about learning to motivate people and learning to ensure that things are done. Learning to ensure that we stick to a brief and we commit and we deliver to on what we've committed.
Mm.
And that requires people. Mm. So as how you go, I'm finding it's about people. Like if you can manage people, if you can bring the best out of people, then I think you'll be set for a senior role. Obviously, you have to be strategic and think of the future.
Sure.
Look out for competitors and the like. But at the end of the day, it's about people. Well, at the top, if this is the top.
Well, let me just give you a little, what's the right term? Kudos here. So, or an affirmation of what you're saying. Mark Cutifani, our Anglo-American CEO, so that's a massive organization. His very brief summary to me, when we were speaking, Klubi unfortunately wasn't around for that conversation, was this, that leadership and by implication business is all about people.
Yes.
And so if that's what you're saying and that's what he's saying, it must be true.
Yes, I mean, you you require people. Every single business requires collaboration between different people.
Mm.
If you can't manage people, things will not get done properly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Speaking about people, the best advice you've ever received?
You have to be the hardest worker in the room.
Oh.
There's nothing else I can say but that. You have to be the hardest worker in the room. If you're not, then I think you are cheating yourself. I think you have to be the hardest worker in the room. And the more hard workers you're in the room, the more elevated your delivery becomes as an organization. Everybody has to compete to say, you know what, I'm going to outwork you.
Very nice. That's a nice thought.
Yeah, you have to be the hardest worker in the room.
I'm going to outwork you, Libby.
Never.
No, it's not possible.
Never.
It isn't possible. So I like this idea of hard work, but what does that hard work translate into? So someone will look at a CEO and say, no, hold on. Hard work for you is going to the golf course and networking with
people. I wish.
So what does that translate into, please?
Well, for me, it means that you have to participate.
Okay.
You have to be willing to do the hard yards with people. If on Friday we need to do an event somewhere, as an example, hard work could mean that who's doing the actual follow-up? Who's making sure that things are getting done? And that's what I'm there for. It means constantly following up or people coming back to me and giving me feedback. So hard work is not just about... I don't know. How can I explain it? I mean, I think you can see it when somebody's a hard worker.
Work ethic, correct.
Yeah, I think you can see it, you know. It's intangible.
I guess perhaps it's more when you say hard work, it's more how you work than the work that you, all of the instruction that you perhaps are giving. I'm trying to get a sense of this.
I think you can see it. You can see if somebody's motivated, if somebody shows interest, you know. I think you can see it. If somebody is half there, you can tell. That's what I mean by hard work is all of those things, you know, persevering, being interested, motivating yourself,
being ambitious,
you know what I mean? So,
okay, very nice. This almost a crucible point that we can call hard work.
Tell us about some bad times before you became CEO and where you wanted to give up, but you didn't. Tell us about not quitting.
Bad times? I've never had bad times.
Oh my gosh. Well, there is one. There is one story. Tell us about a non-quitting kind of mantra that you've developed.
Well, the only time I feel bad about a negative outcome is when I know that I didn't actually work as hard as I should have worked.
Okay, nice.
Do you know? It sounds like a cliche, but if we produce a TV show, like I'll talk about my role in the MA, if we produce a TV show and it doesn't rate as well as we had anticipated, if I know that we did the best we could to interrogate who's going to be the lead actor, who's going to be the director, the writer, is the marketing great and the publicity great, if any of those steps were not done properly, and you know if you haven't done anything properly, then I'll be just very disappointed and say, shucks man, we had let ourselves down here. But if I know that we worked very, very hard and then we don't get the ratings that we wanted, or we don't get the ad revenues that we anticipated, it's very disappointing. But you know what, you have to persevere and keep your head up and keep chin up and think, you know what, we did the best that we can, then we just have to look at within ourselves, maybe we are not the right people to do this, or maybe the people that are there are not the right people to do it.
So we have this Future CEOs community, which really consists of young entrepreneurs, and young does not mean age, it's where they are in their business, startup perhaps, and then these individuals who are in their careers and they're trying to push through that cement or glass ceiling that sometimes seems to occur in organizations.
Yeah.
What is your advice or feeling on how to get through to that next level, whether it's in your own business or in your career as well? How do we get there?
I don't want to sound all preachy, but I've always believed in myself, in that I'm going to get to a certain place.
Okay.
And obviously, a lot of people have experienced the glass ceiling and they continue to do. People that are more deserving.
Yeah.
And my advice is, if you really, really believe it and you have what it takes and you've put in the 10,000 hours and the right karma, I think it will happen for you. I genuinely do. Whenever I felt overlooked before, I was disappointed, but I'm an optimist, you know. I know that there's something bigger out there for me, and if I'm not happy to where I am today and I need to get to this place where I think I'll be happier, and I don't get there within a certain time frame, I don't beat myself up over it. I tell myself to be resilient and to be persistent, because life isn't easy, you know. You don't always get what you want
at
when
the
you
time,
want it.
When you want
it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know anybody.
Story of our lives.
I don't know anybody who's gotten anything that they've wanted at exactly the same at the time that they wanted it, you know, or in a certain plan or, you know, or time frame. Life doesn't work like that, you know. We have to be resilient.
No, I mean, and you know what I like about what you just said is it's a real kick in the pants to all of us who, I mean, we live in an instant society, don't we? We live instant messaging, instant Instagram, all this stuff. But exactly as you say, good things take time.
Yeah.
Here's a follow-up question then to this idea of movement in the organization or in your career. How long would you stay in a position before you decide to look outside of the organization or somewhere else because you're not getting promoted? How long would you give yourself?
That is a very difficult question to answer. I think it depends. You know, some careers have like a specific time band, like being an accountant. You study for 4 years, then you do articles for 3 years, and then they give you an offer to be a financial manager. That's like 7 years, or a doctor. I've worked in marketing my whole life, or in general management. I don't think there is a specific time that says, by this date, I must be here. But you as a person, you need to set that for yourself and say, do I think I've got it in me to get here by this date?
Yeah. And there's always a point where you need the growth. And I think that's what I love about this show, is that money is one thing, job satisfaction is another thing, but personal growth is one of the high listed kind of needs and values that entrepreneurs want and need to have. So I think when you stop growing, whatever position that you're in, they didn't correct me if I'm wrong, it's time for you to move laterally or out.
I agree with you. I work with brilliant people, and when you're with them and they want to leave, it's not... You tell them, I'll pay you more.
Yeah, it's true.
You
correct.
Tell them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I value your contribution, I'll pay you more.
Correct.
It's not about the money.
Ooh.
It's not about, they tell you, listen, I need to do something else.
That's so true.
And you can't stop somebody from living their life that way, you know. It's not, it gets to a point when you're lucky, it's not about the money anymore, when you're lucky. So I agree with you. I agree with you.
Mentorship. We're big on that on the show.
Yeah.
Do you have a mentor?
Okay.
Or are you a mentor? Or both?
I'm always honest, so I'll say I don't have a formal mentor where I phone you and say, hey, let's have a coffee and let's talk.
Okay.
I've never had that. Mm. Maybe it's because I'm an introvert and maybe I don't want to open up myself. I don't know. But sure. I've never had that. A lot of my friends have mentors and I admire them. I get mentorship in a different way.
Yes, who are your influences then? Yeah. Let me rephrase that.
It's the people that I've worked with for a long time in different parts of the business that I will just ask for a coffee and then tell me. Oh, I play golf, so it's easy for me to find people that are so-called successful on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of them are in my family who are in different industries who've run their own businesses. Those are the people that I would consider mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, actually, maybe they are my mentors. Maybe I didn't know they were mentors, but they are. Yeah, there are people that I talk to when I play golf or when we have a family gathering. Or when I feel like I need to see them, I go to their houses and we just sit and we talk.
Okay. Yeah. And what I like about what you're saying is that it's not just one person. It's not centered in an individual. It seems to be well-rounded and brought together quite nicely.
Yeah. So one of my uncles works, has had an IT consulting business for 15, 20 years.
Okay.
You know,
wow.
He works for himself. So I go to him a lot. And he's into different things. You know, he was in a governing body of Stevians and this and that. So I go to him a lot, and he plays golf and is the easiest person to get along with. One of my other uncles works in insurance. I guess I've been lucky in that I've had those people, and all other people are my peers. I mean, somebody below me could be like, in a way, influence me positively by the way they carry themselves, by the way they work and the way they think. You know, one of my good friends is a brand manager. I mean, he's
like, what a great 20, person to know.
25 years old, you know, and there's certain things in him that I look up to, and that's why I hang around with him, you know. So I mean, it's different people who bring different things, I guess.
I like the way you phrase it, Libby, where you said influences or an influence on your life. I mean, and we are, we're influenced by a lot of different things. We are running out of time. Can you believe it?
Sure.
So maybe one or two last questions to round up. Libby, you can do the last question if you'd like. I'll give you some warning. So here is the question for me. There's a lot being written about leadership and about management in books. And it's maybe pseudoscience or popular opinion. But what have you been able to assess being said out there that isn't really the case in this function that you're now filling, even just 20 days in? What have you learned?
Lovely, Gareth.
That's a very difficult question to answer.
Sure.
Can I take it back to people?
Always.
It is people. People are so complex, and it is unbelievable how I thought I knew people because I've worked with people all my career. But I'm learning new things now. You know, I'm working with people who are maybe a lot older than me, who've been there longer than me, and sort of the relationship dynamic has changed in that I'm there. I'm the CEO, but at the end of the day, they hold the influence and the power. So we have to find a way of working together. In a very respectable manner. I think it's people, you know. I'm learning about people because I have to learn about them and they have to learn about me and I have to learn how they like to work and I have to sort of assimilate myself to their style of working as well. So I think I'm learning how to interact with different kinds of people.
Very
I'm loving
nice.
The fact that you're very authentic about you finding your feet in this new position and that you are a work in progress, and that's very refreshing, you know, because some people kind of believe that position of CEO is something they can just roll with, and yes. You're very honest and very vulnerable about it being a new chapter of your life, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
On that note, if you could talk to your younger self 10 years ago, what would you say to Gideon Butitumeleng 10 years ago?
10 years ago,
What would you say?
I would say that the things I've talked about, like perseverance and hard work, I've learned them maybe within the last 10 years.
Okay.
I would have said, stay on your course, believe in yourself, study further, and you'll be fine.
I like how the finality, and you'll be fine.
Mm.
Gideon, thank you for being here on the show. It's been a very insightful conversation. You've said a whole bunch of things that have piqued our interest, and there's a whole bunch of other questions that we're going to ask, but we'll do that in a year's time from now when we can dig into some more of the experiences that you've had. But we really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for having me.
Yay.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, guys. After the break, we are going to be speaking with an individual who's going to give us insights into scaling your business, the timing of that, and then also how to do that. So don't go away. We will be back right after this.
Cliff Central.
The revolution. I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.